come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Okay. Oh, Father, I am so thankful, Lord, to be in your presence right now. We are thankful, Lord, that you are doing a work that we wouldn't believe even though it were told to us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that we would hear your voice, that we would hear what you have to say to us this morning, Lord, as we look at this prayer of yours. Lord, that we would look at it with just a heart to hear from you. Lord, as you speak to us, as you speak to the Father, in our hearing, Lord, we get to hear what it was that you said, just like the disciples heard. And we thank you, Father, for being here. We thank you, Lord. Help us to be aware of your presence at all times. We do pray, Father, for those who are still missing in the fires, down to 40 people, fortunately, and of those who are unaccounted for. Lord, we pray that they would be found quickly, that they are... We know that they're in your hands. We continue to pray. We thank you, Lord, that there is some rain on the way, just as we've prayed. I thank you, Lord, that a couple of days ago they were expecting very strong winds, and we prayed, and the winds weren't nearly as strong as they expected. Lord, you're doing a great work, and you're causing us to pray, and we're causing us to seek you in the midst of these things, Lord. We continue to lift up those who were involved in the Las Vegas incident, and Lord, we pray, God, that you would continue to comfort them, that you would continue to strengthen them, that you would continue, Lord, to draw them close to you, that you would come to them in dreams or however you come to them, Lord, that there would be a change in their lives in the way that they walk and follow you, Lord. Just that deep awareness. We pray, Father, for Puerto Rico, Lord, as I heard last night, they hope to have water and power 90% by December. Lord, we pray for it to be quicker. Lord, they need water and power to every area there, as you well know, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would do a work there in Puerto Rico as well, Lord, a mighty work in Puerto Rico. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to descend upon that place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would rise out of the ashes into some glorious, wonderful, beautiful place with people that are serving you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently learned that a good number of human trafficking came out of Puerto Rico. So I'm really praying that the Lord will use this time to make a change in that. So so here we are. We are in chapter 17 of the book of John, moving through it, just racing right through it. And I love this chapter. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Why do we call it a prayer? It doesn't end with amen. Why are we calling it a prayer? Because it starts with the word Father. Prayer is talking to the Father. That's all that prayer is. It's talking to the Father. So we know that this is a prayer that we have here in chapter 17 of the book of John. Now in chapters 13 through 19, and here we are right in the middle of it, chapters 13 through 19 covers 24 hours. Chapters 13 through 19 covers a 24-hour period. It is an amazing thing as we look at what is in these particular chapters. John has recorded for us here this long conversation of the night. How is it that John was able to record this? He was able to record this because, number one, he was there. Number two, it was done in such a way that he heard what was going on. We know that Jesus spoke this prayer out loud. He was in the midst of them. He was continuing on in his talk there, and it starts with Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. He spoke these words. He spoke them out. He spoke them in a way that people around him could hear what it was that he was saying. And oftentimes, now it's not like God doesn't hear our prayer if we're just praying to ourselves. You know, that's fine. If you need to do that, and you're in a situation, it doesn't mean that God doesn't hear you. But Jesus always has someone else in mind. Everything in his life was done for purpose. The reason that he said it out loud was the same reason that when he spoke in chapter 11:41 and 42, when he's at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this out loud," when he was saying, "Lazarus, come forth." Because of the people that were standing around, he was saying it out loud, that they might hear, they might see, and they might believe that Jesus is God. Again, the gospel is John, is written for the purpose of us knowing that Jesus is God. That's the purpose of this gospel. And so that's why he did it. We know that the disciples heard it. And, you know, I'm reminded of Corrie Ten Boom when she was in a hotel room. It was one of those days. She had been speaking. It was late at night. She was tired. She spoke out loud to the Lord saying, I'm just too tired to pray. It was in another country that she was in this hotel room, and the Lord said to her, "You need to pray. You need to pray out loud." And she's, "Oh, but Lord, I'm just so tired." And so, but she moved in obedience. And when she moved in obedience, she said her prayers out loud. Little did she know that later on she would find out that her room was bugged. And the people who heard her praying had lives that were changed because she prayed out loud. And so even when I'm alone, I will oftentimes pray out loud. But Jesus here said it for all to hear. He's preparing himself for what's ahead. He will receive strength and sacrifice. That's in this sacrifice, he's going to receive the strength. That's going to show up in next week's study when he is in the garden and the arrest in the garden. But here we have in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He will be strengthened to do exactly what God called him to do. You will be strengthened to do whatever God has called you to do. When we have situations in our lives and we go, "No, can't do it. This is over the top. I just can't do this." We haven't been called to be crucified on a cross. We haven't been called to be beaten, or at least we haven't up to this point, I'm assuming. Is anybody in here? No? No. Okay. We haven't been called to that. But God will give us a strength for whatever it is that he's called us to. And so he also prayed for his disciples when in this chapter. Those who were, and who are his disciples? Who are his disciples? Yes, those that were right there, but any of those who were believers. The believers who follow after him. What does it mean to be a believer? To believe, to cling to, adhere to, rely on. And there's one more. Trust in, yes. So that's what it means to believe. And so if I am a true follower of the Lord, I am going to believe in that way. He prays for his disciples for their security. He prays for their joy. He prays for their unity. And he prays for our and their future glory. He also prayed for those very same things for you and for me. He said, it says that he prayed for those who will believe. For those who will believe. The beginning of chapter 17, and it says, and I hope you have all you have your Bibles open to this chapter. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourselves, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." Do you know, Jesus got right into what he had to say. The time that it took to read this prayer that Jesus prayed is the same amount of time that it takes to steep a cup of tea. 4 minutes. That's all it took. I wonder, I began to ask myself, and now I ask you, when was the last time that you positioned yourself? You see, Jesus positioned himself. It doesn't say that he raised his hands. It just says that he lifted up his eyes. So he's standing. I'm assuming he's standing. That's an assumption on my part. I'm assuming he's standing. His eyes are lifted to the Father, and he begins to speak. And he stays in that position for 4 minutes. When was the last time I did that? That I positioned myself in a manner of prayer and stayed there on subject until it was done. You see, Jesus lived an undistracted life. Most of us, probably, I'm going to assume most of us, we walk and we pray. It's fine. We do things and we're praying. That's fine. But do we have some time? You know, when I go for coffee with Bill, I love it when we sit across from each other and we're actually looking at each other when we're talking. What a concept, yes. I love that. And I have expressed to him how much I love that. Because that's what God wants from us. We want that kind of relationship, that one-on-one relationship. Now, okay, let's not take it with husbands, just a friend. You're sitting and you're having coffee with a friend. And the whole time that you're talking to them, they're checking out everything else that's going on. And I'm just going to walk over here. Go ahead, I'm listening. Do you feel that you have their attention? No, of course not. And when was the last time we did that with Jesus? You know, I treated him like that just yesterday. As I was walking through my house, I was praying. But I had also had that time one-on-one beforehand. So we continue in prayer throughout. See, there's no amen at the end of this. And so it means that Jesus was just continuing to speak to the Father. It's just we don't have it recorded. And so here we are with this 4 minutes. Jesus lived an undistracted life. Granted, he had no phone. He did not have a phone next to him that had alerts for everything that ever went on throughout the entire world. You know, you've got an alert for the news, you've got an alert for the weather, you've got an alert for Amber Alert, you've got an alert for I got to pick up the kids at school, you've got an alert for I've got to put something in the oven, you've got an alert for I got to take it out of the oven, you've got an alert for whatever. Jesus didn't have that distraction, but he had people around him all the time. And yet he looked to his Father. And for 4 minutes, he continued to look to the Father as he spoke to him. He wasn't preaching. He was talking to the Father. So I don't see him going, I've manifested your name amongst these. I've manifested your name amongst these. Difference, isn't there? It's not preaching. When you are in a group and you're praying out loud, we're not preaching to someone. We're just talking to God. Just talking to God. That's exactly what Jesus was doing there. And he was not distracted by the people. And he starts it out in verse 1, and he says, Father, the hour has come. And chapter 8, verse 20, it wasn't time. Chapter 12, 23, it wasn't time. Now it's time for the Father to glorify the Son, that Jesus might bring glory to his Father. Now, Jesus was looking ahead to his death on the cross. If he were to remain in the grave, the world would have looked at him and just gone, oh, he's just another man. But Father is going to raise him from the dead. He's going to have that resurrection. He is going to go to the cross. He will glorify the Father by his raising from the dead, and that would be proof that he was God's son and the world's savior, and that's exactly what the Father did. He raised him from the dead. Glorify your son also that, so that your son may glorify you, and in the next, it's explained in the next two verses, as you have given him authority over all flesh, and then in verse 3, the gift of eternal life, which is the result of Jesus' work of redemption at the cross, is given to all to receive. It's given to all, not just to those that were there, but to all who will believe. It's offered to all who will believe. And in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. We talked last week about knowing him, having an intimate relationship with God, that just draws you in and draws others in, because they see that relationship that you have with him. They see his work through your life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And remember, he is praying this out loud. He said, I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I've finished it. He's already now looking toward the cross. He knows what's going to happen. We'll see next week as we look into the garden that he knew exactly what was going to happen. He's not asking for that strength right now, but next week he'll be asking for the strength that was just a few hours later from this one. But I have finished what you gave me to do. I was convicted when I read that, because I know that there are some things in my life that the Lord has given me to do. He specifically told me to do certain things. And I have almost done them. You know what I'm talking about? I sort of did them. Now, as I'm saying that, I'm wondering if I hesitate at finishing them because I know my life will be over when I finish them. I'm not sure. But I need to be about what God has set for me. I need to do what he's called me to do. And I need to do a good job at it, and I need to finish it. Jesus said, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. He already sees himself at the place of resurrection, the place of the cross. He knows that he's headed there. And so he's already on that path. And Jesus prayed in verse 5 that the visible manifestation of his glory in heaven might be restored. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So returning back to that, being restored in there, in heaven with the Lord. Let the original glory that I shared with you before becoming a man here on earth. In verse 6, I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. I have made your name known. They look at me, and they see you. Someone told me recently, and I don't say this, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but she said to me, there's just something about your smile. She said, I'm looking at pictures of you, and there's just something about your smile. And you know what's about my smile? It's Jesus. That's what's different about my smile. That's what's different about me. It's my smile, because you see Jesus, and that's what he's saying, that I've made your name known. They look at me, they see you. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. Christ had fully declared the Father's true nature. They have kept your word despite all their failures and shortcomings. Jesus said they believed and they obeyed. He's telling the Father, they believed and they obeyed, even though he knows they're going to leave him. They're going to leave him high and dry. But he says they have finished their work as well. And then in 7 and 8, Jesus explains that he did or said was only as he was instructed by the Father. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you gave to me. That obedience thing again, that I'm only speaking the words that you gave me to speak. Jesus only spoke the words that the Father gave him to speak. He only did the things. Remember, he said, I only do those things which I see the Father doing. I only say those things which I hear the Father saying. And so I pray for them in verse 9. And now Jesus is praying for those who are his. Later, he will pray from the cross. See, in verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And so he's praying for those disciples right now, for those who, that you've given me right now. And later on, from the cross, he'll say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And at that point, he was praying for the world. He was praying for those who didn't know. They didn't know him. But when they would come to know him, we know that they would follow after him. And in verse 10, all mine are yours and yours are mine. In verses 6 through 19, Jesus presents his little flock to the Father. And I don't remember, I would refer to this if I could remember. Oh, it was from William MacDonald. In verses 6 through 19, Jesus presents his little flock to the Father and robes each little lamb in a coat of many colors and declares, I am glorified in them. Is that just so cool? Remember the story of the coat of many colors? Joseph got the coat of many colors. I present my little flock to the Father, and I have robed each little lamb in a coat of many colors. And it says that I am glorified in them, because when they look at these guys, they see me. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. Holy Father, holy speaks of one who is infinitely high. Father speaks of one who is intimately nigh. Holy speaks of one who is infinitely high, and Father speaks of one who is intimately nigh or intimately near. And God keeps his own in verse 12. Those who you've given me, I've kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition. We know that the son of perdition is Judas Iscariot. Now, did Judas Iscariot have a choice? Yes, he did. He had every choice, the same choices that we had. But because he chose poorly, he fulfilled the scriptures in his choice. And so we move on. I spoke these things when I was in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them, that they might have my joy in them. Have you ever been, now this is a silly question, has anybody in here ever had a day where you're just, that joy just in there? Just everything looks like it's, you know, you look like a country song. You know, the dog died or got run over, and the truck broke when it ran over him, and my wife left, and everything everywhere has gone wrong. And in the midst of that, Jesus is saying, you can have joy. Even when everything is going wrong, you can have a joy unspeakable and full of his glory. A joy unspeakable. You can't even describe it. There's something inside of you that is just I can't explain it. I should feel really bad about what's going on here. I should be really upset about what's happening here. I'm worried that I'm so calm. Have you ever been in those situations? I've been in those situations, some of them recently. I don't understand why I'm just kind of, am I just getting weird or what? I'm not, okay, yeah, well, yeah, it's a pretty serious situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guess I'll pray about it. But that joy that's in there keeps me through those times when everything's going wrong. That joy unspeakable and full of glory, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's the joy of the Lord that's my strength that carries me through all of that. In verse 14, I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not the world. I've not given them anything of myself, Jesus says, only what you told me to give to them. Again, I am only giving them what you told me to give them. World hates them because your word challenges the world. Because your word challenges the world. And so I don't pray for these that, in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them strong while they stay here. Not escape, but preservation. Not an escape, but preservation. There's a difference from running from something or being carried through something. And that's what Jesus said. I don't ask you to just rip them out of this world. I'm asking you to take care of them while they're there. Just have your hand on them while they're there. How many of us have prayed for people in that way? This world is not my home. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. I didn't come to stay. My time will be up. Your time will be up. None of us knows when that time is. We just need to be ready for it to happen. Sanctify them through your truth. For your word is truth. Set them apart through me, because your word is truth, just as you promised. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world in the same way, to show the world what you are like. I came and I showed the world what you are like, Father. And now I am sending these guys to show the world what you are like, to show them who you are. And that for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and that they also may be sanctified through truth. Your word is truth. Now, I do not pray in verse 20. I do not pray. And in verses 20 through 26, Jesus prays for all believers. Now, he's praying for all believers at this point. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Through their word. It is the word that changes us. The disciples would pass on the word of God. Jesus had passed on the word of God. Jesus said, what I hear my Father saying, that's what I say. These disciples of mine, whatever they hear the Father saying, that's what they're saying. And we are going to believe because someone gave the word of God to us. I believe because someone gave the word of God to me. That's the only way that I can believe. That they also... he prayed that that they all may be one, verse 21, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And now in verses 21, 23, and 26, he prayed that they might have unity. I pray for them that they all may be one as you and I are one. They will know we are Christians by the way that we love one another, that unity, that they might be one in exhibiting the character of God, that they'll know we are Christians by our love. Now in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. The glory which you gave me, I have given them. I've given them my glory that you gave to me, that they may be one, even as you and I are one. Now, in verse 11, the Lord prayed for unity in fellowship. In verse 11, the Lord prayed for unity in fellowship. In verse 21, it was unity in being a witness. He prayed for unity in being a witness. And now, in verse 22, now it's unity in glory. This looks forward to the time when saints will receive their glorified bodies. The glory which you gave me is the glory of the resurrection and the ascension. We are all going to be raised. We are all going to be raised in a way that Lazarus finally was. You see, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he had to die again. This physical body has to pass away. This physical body has to be done with at some point. And some days it reminds me more than others that it's almost done. It's going to be. But the glory which you gave me is the glory of resurrection and the ascension. This is the glory that I have given them. We have the opportunity to show the precious love of God to this dying world. We have the privilege, the opportunity to show the precious love of God to this dying world. Father, I wish, verse 24, I wish, my own words, my own translation, I wish that they could truly see everything right now. I wish that they could go with me. I wish that they could be right there and they could see me in my place where I really belong right now. I wish they could go there, but that's not the best thing for me. I want to be able to know that they have loved them and as you have loved me. I wish that they could be there. I wish that they could see all of that right now. And verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. I know you, the world doesn't know you, but these disciples know you. They have an intimate relationship with you. And I have declared, verse 26, to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. We sang that song today. Your name, your name, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, because nothing has the power to save but your name. There is no name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name Christ Jesus. I have given them, I have declared to them your name. Oh, that the world would see that we are his disciples by the way that we love one another. Now, this is what he spoke, and we call it his prayer because he was speaking to the Father. I wonder if we might not take that as a model. We take what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I wonder if we took this as a model for our praying time, that our thought would always be for someone else. Our thought would always be for someone else. Lord, would you give me? Lord, would you let me see? Lord, would you do this for me? That our prayer would be, Lord, can you bless them? Can you, Lord, just give them all that they need to accomplish whatever you've called them to do? Lord, would you lavish your love on them? Lord, would you just, for this other person, would you do that? Oh, that we would, our prayer would be centered in that way. And so, Lord, as we pray for those, Lord, who have been touched by all the different things going on in the world right now, Lord. There are floods, there are hurricanes, there are the hurricane in Ireland and Scotland and all of the hurricanes in the States and through the islands and, Lord, the fires and the shootings and the this and the that and the other thing, Lord. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would be made so clear to the people in this world, Lord. I do pray for the world in the same way that you did. At this particular time of our text, you were praying just for the disciples, but you, God, so loved the world that he gave you, Jesus, his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on you wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Lord, we pray for the people in this world, on this planet, Lord, that you would give them every single opportunity and give them to hear of your word. And Lord, that they were, their hearts would be changed and that they would be drawn to you. And Lord, next week, as we look at that time when you are in the garden, Lord, let us be mindful of what you prayed here and help us to model our prayer after you and just invest that time with you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.